You know, most of us are familiar with the basic principles of bookkeeping. Now, I had to take bookkeeping when I was in school, and I really didn't understand why. I mean, putting all these figures together, and you want to wind up in the black, and sometimes you wind up in the red, and if you wind up in the red, well, that's not good. You know, as we go through our business lives, and every one of us in this room, whether you realize it or not, you're a business person. Because you deal with facts and figures and numbers in everyday life, and dealing with paying your bills and getting your rewards and whatnot. All of that's part of bookkeeping, and we know that. But we also know that we, in doing our books, in daily living, we have both assets and liabilities. And we also understand that when our liabilities outweigh our assets, then we have a problem, don't we? We're working with those red letters that I talked about earlier. And you know, when you stop and think about it, assets and liabilities, they basically show us what direction we're going in life, whether it's a positive direction or whether it's a negative direction. And we also need to understand that we ourselves can be an asset in life, or we can be a liability in many different aspects of living. I'm not just talking about money anymore, but we can be liabilities and assets to the people around us, and even liabilities and assets to ourselves. We can be either one in our work environment. We are either an asset to those we work for, or we are a liability to those that we work for. We can either be an asset or a liability in our homes and how we direct the affairs within our homes. And unfortunately, we can either be a liability or an asset in our religion as well. And too many liabilities make it impossible for us to succeed in whatever area that we happen to be talking about. Now, here's a thought. You and I, spiritually, are either an asset or a liability in the work of the church. Either we are causing the church to move forward, or we are holding the church back. We are doing one of the two. We can't do anything in between. So we are doing one of the two as we sit here today. We are either an asset or we are a liability to the church and to the God that we serve. You know, we have examples in the Bible about liabilities. For example, King Belshazzar. King Belshazzar that we read about in the book of Daniel, he was a liability to his own people, which was indeed the children of Israel. In God's eyes, he had been weighed on scales, and he had been found being deficient. In other words, as I said earlier, he's in the red. He was a liability to his own people. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, Jesus is speaking to a group of the Pharisees here, and he basically calls them liabilities because they're not following even the Mosaical law, and they have no intention of following Jesus when the New Testament dispensation comes into play. And he says to them in verse 30 of Matthew chapter 12, "He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters." Now that's saying basically what I said just a few minutes ago. Either you're either going to be an asset or you're going to be a liability. There is no ground in between for you to muddle through. Either you are for God or you are against God. Either you're working for his cause or you are working against his cause. And I know everyone in this room would say, "Well, I'm not against God. I'm not against Christ. I'm not against the church." But if you have an attitude, and we're going to talk about some of these attitudes this morning, that is non-productive to Christianity in your life, you are a liability. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Because we ourselves can be assets or liabilities today. I don't know if you can read the signs on the screen. these group of people are liabilities to the church as we know them today. And I guess you can't read what is on the screen because I couldn't make it any larger and keep the picture in proper perspective. But let me read to you some of the things that these signs say that you're looking at here on the screen. These are from people who are liabilities to the church. Number one, if you don't do things my way, you ever heard that before? Yeah, I have. I've heard it sitting in my office down the hall here. Terry and I both have. I have to give how much? What's in this for me? Tell me only the good things. Don't talk about sin when you preach. Talk about love. You know, you can turn on the TV this morning and you'll hear a multitude of different kind of preachers. And you won't find one of them, not a single solitary one of them, talking about sin and the consequences and the deadliness of it. They're going to talk about love. And oh, how wonderful it would be if you were a Christian. And how great it would be if you would follow them. And how great it would be if you give them money. That's what you're going to hear this morning on TV. Those are all liabilities, my friend. And I love this one. Let the preacher do it. We pay him. I've actually heard that one a few times myself as well. See, these are people who are going to sit back and they're going to take a back row and they're going to become a liability. And they would say, oh, I would never be against the church and I would never be against God. But yet and still, you're not going to lift so much as your little pinky to do anything for the church and to help the church. And therefore, you are a liability. We are either a liability or an asset to this church. And many people are actually hurting the church because they are a liability. Because the biggest thing is they're just simply not as interested in Christianity as they should be. You know, I wish some of y'all would come in first thing in the mornings when we have worship service and look at the faces as they come through the door. Do you see excitement? Do you see enjoyment? Do you see an element of, oh, I'm so glad to be here? Or do you see the frowning face and, oh, man, I wish I hadn't had to get out of bed today? I got to tell you, friends, I see both. And I'm seeing assets and I'm seeing liabilities. Today, what I want to do, I want each of us to consider this question. And don't look at Farron and don't look at the person sitting next to you and don't look at the other elder sitting over here in the middle on the side. I want you to look in the mirror and I want you to ask this question. Am I an asset to this church or am I a liability? And with the thought in mind, please keep this in your mind that if you don't do anything whatsoever at all, you're a liability. All right, here we go. Number one. No. I lost my screen. Y'all didn't lose y'all, so I'm glad. Power went down yesterday, and the computer thinks it has to do something different. I apologize for that. Okay. Here we go. Question number one. Are we zealous workers for the Lord? Or are we simply a lukewarm pew packer? Now remember, you are going to be one of the two. There's nothing in between, and there's not a third option anywhere. You are going to be one of these two. Either you are a worker for God, or you are just sitting here warming the cushion. To be an asset means that we are zealous workers for God. We are an asset to this church if we are willing workers. Now, Paul talks about some willing workers in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 2. He says, "For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians, namely that Achaia has been prepared since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them." In other words, the church at Corinth has been a thrust has been a positive example for those around them. They have given out an attitude of, I am interested in God. They have given out an attitude that I am wanting to be an asset to this church. You know, we are an asset to the Lord's church through our zeal for good works. In other words, we want to see things get done, and we want to get involved and help those things get done that need to be done. And we can do it in several ways. We can provoke or encourage other people to be zealous as well. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, the Hebrew writer says, and let us now consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds. In other words, we need to push each other along. We need to help each other when some people want to slow down, when some people want to stop. We need to encourage them, help them stand up, and help them move in the right direction. We are an asset when we realize that just wishing the job done don't get it done. Have you ever sat in your chair at home knowing that there is something that needed to get done and just dreading having to get started? Oh, I dread having to get up and do that. We've all been in that chair, haven't we? But you know, the longer you sit there, the longer it doesn't get done. And it's not going to get done until you get up and work on it yourself. I remember when I was in school, in both high school and college, I never learned to get away from this trick. I knew that I had a test coming, and I knew that I needed to study, and my books were sitting right there, and I'm sitting over here, and I'm looking at those books, and you know, I couldn't read a thing from that distance. I didn't learn anything looking at those books with them closed. I had to get up and go over there, open up those books, and put it in here, or I wasn't going to get done. And I knew that, while I was sitting over here looking at those books, I knew it wasn't going to get done. And I guess we've all done that too. Wishing that something gets done is never going to get it done. We are an asset when we know that waiting for someone else to do it, things are not going to get done. And I can't tell you how many times I have been told, let somebody else do it. I've done my part. Let me tell you something, Christian. You're breathing. You know what that means? Your part isn't finished yet. And it doesn't matter if you're 95 or plus. If you're still breathing as a Christian, your part ain't done. You have more to do. Notice the example of Nehemiah in building the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 21, listen to what it said. So we carried on the work, with half of them holding spears from dawn until the stars appeared. Now they were under duress building the walls of Jerusalem, but they were determined, we're going to build these walls. And they put spear in hand to ward off those of the enemies that was trying to stop them in their work, and they continued in their work. And matter of fact, we can back up to Nehemiah 4 and verse 6. And the zeal of the Israelites showed themselves, because it says that the people had a mind to work. They wouldn't like Pharaoh sitting back over here in the corner looking on the other side of the room at those books. They got up and they did the work. That's what zealous will do for you. Now, on the other hand, we have those who have liabilities. They are what I referred to as the lukewarm pew packer. We are horrible liability to the Lord if we have a half-hearted attitude in His work. And I want you to notice what the Lord said about lukewarmness. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16, there was a whole church filled with lukewarmness. And listen to what He said. Because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. In other words, I'm not going to have any part of you. I'm not going to have anything to do with you, because it's obvious you don't care about me. So why should I care about you? And you know, that's exactly the word you're going to hear when you stand before God in judgment. You didn't care about me on earth. Why should I care about you now? We need to be careful that we don't become that liability with our lives. When we half-heartedly go about doing the work of the church, we are a liability. And one of the reasons for that is because we discourage the person sitting next to us who may have a zeal to work. But we pull them back. And then we'll say, hey, come back here with me in fairness. Let's sit in this corner. Let's look at them books on the other side. And this is probably the worst one of all. We show our children that it's okay to be a liability. Because we're not interested ourselves. And let me tell you something about kids. Young and old, really. They see mama and daddy showing low interest in anything. That's exactly what you're going to see out of them. If you don't show interest in the Lord's work, they're going to show no interest in the Lord's work. If they show their child that, you know, it's okay to sleep in every Sunday or so, and it's okay not to get excited about coming to Bible class, and it's even okay to sit out in the car while Bible class is going on and then just come in after that. I hope I didn't give anybody an idea there. That's what they see. That's what they're going to do. And we discourage our kids. As a liability, we're not really that interested if the Lord's work is accomplished. You know, this congregation, and I hate to say this, but it's a fact, and Terry will back me up on this, we don't always succeed in the things that we're wanting to do. Sometimes we have to back up and punt because it didn't turn out like we thought it should. And you know, we've had people tell us, well, that's okay. We'll do something else, and we'll just sit back and watch it and see if it gets better. Bad attitude, folks. That's a liability. So, are you lukewarm? Or are you zealous as a Christian? Number two. In your Christian life, are you faithful? Or are you a forsaker? One who is an asset to the Lord will be faithful to the Lord. You know, in Jesus' parable of the talents, Matthew chapter 25, the servant with the five talents and the two talents, they were an asset to their master because they took what the master had given to them and they increased that by doubling the amount, in fact. And the reward for those who were faithful was wonderful. In fact, it says in verse 21, his master said to him, he's talking to the five-talent man now, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things, and I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. There is great reward for being an asset. Following this parable, he told another parable of the unrighteous steward. And he says to his disciples, he who is faithful in a very little thing is also faithful in much. He who is unrighteous in a very little thing is also unrighteous in much. In other words, either faithfulness or unfaithfulness is going to turn into a snowball effect. If you start out with your faith in God as strong and growing, if you continue in that matter, your faith is going to grow and your abilities and your zeal is going to get bigger and better, and there will be no stopping you. But if you start out unfaithful, if you start out with this pessimistic, I really don't care attitude, that's going to snowball too. And pretty soon you're going to reach the point you just don't care anything about the Lord and you will walk away from Him. Are you faithful or are you a forsaker? If we are an asset to the church, we are faithful. Number one, because we will not allow things to go undone. You know, we find that we generally have to go to folks and say, can you help us do this? very rarely that someone comes up to me or Terry, either one, and says, I'd like to help you do this. How would you handle that, Terry? That'd be, you know, it'd just almost knock you off your feet if somebody did that. It doesn't happen very often. If you're an asset, you want the work to get done. You want to see it get better. You want to see it continue. If you're an asset of the church, you will help others do what is expected of them. You will give them an example, first of all, and you will encourage them to follow in your steps. Paul said, I encourage people every day to follow me as I follow Christ. And we will help each other in the church grow and be what we need to be. But on the other hand, if we're a liability, we are a forsaker. And probably one of the most forsaking verses in the Bible, and y'all have heard me read this no telling how many times. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. It actually uses that word, forsake. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day drawing near. We become a liability if we forsake our Christianity, because we will fail to encourage one another to be together. And I'm going to tell you, friends, as this group of people in here today, we should want to be together. We should enjoy being together, because you know what? We are our forever family. If we're happy together here, we're going to be happy together in heaven. Now, there's a flip side to that coin. If we're unhappy with people here in this room, is God going to let us up there where we can be unhappy still with the people in this room? I don't think so. We need to be encouraging, not forsaking. Next, are you studious or are you ignorant of God's Word? If you are an asset, then you will want to know more about it. That's why Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, the King James reading says, study to show yourselves approved. Every other version of the Bible says, be diligent to show yourself approved. In other words, you need to put some effort into it. You need to do the best you can to see to it that you do what you need to do as a child of God. In fact, Paul tells Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, but you must continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from your childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Now this goes back to what I was talking about earlier and being an encouragement to your children. Because you want them to develop this same godly attitude, this same faithful attitude that will help them through life. That last part, this needs to be repeated again. You have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. And that's something we all want, isn't it? We all want salvation, don't we? Well, here's how you get it. Through your knowledge and understanding and application of the Scriptures. There's the answer. Simple as that. It is a necessary thing. We must be knowledgeable of God's Word, first of all, for our own salvation. Second of all, it allows us to be an asset to the church and not a liability. And we become assets in the Lord's church when we are studious, number one, because we realize the difference in error and truth. We understand what we need to do to be pleasing to God. And we want God's will to work within us. And it all comes back to understanding it. You know, I watched my daddy drive a car for 15 years without any mess ups. He didn't run stop signs. He didn't go too fast. He obeyed all the laws. He kept that car within outside of the ditches.
First time I got behind the wheel of that car, I went straight to the ditch. The second time I got in that car, and that was back in the days when the speed limit, kids, this is hard, was 55. 55 wasn't fast enough for me. And it wasn't too fast for the policeman to catch me either. You see, you have to live within the limits. And I had to learn how to maneuver that vehicle. The first time Philip had an accident, we had to go to the courthouse. And one thing, and I never will forget this, I don't know if Philip remembers this or not, as we were standing there in front of the judge, and he made this statement. He said, "Don't let this discourage you. You will get better as your skills improve." And you know, I never had thought about that. He was 16 years old. Yeah, he messed up. Just like I did when I was 16. My skills improved. Philip's skills has improved. He's only took out 2 more cars and 3 dogs. I'm kidding about that. We improve as we understand and educate ourselves, don't we? Yeah. And that's what we must do. You know, Hosea made this statement about the children of Israel in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. They were liabilities. "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." They don't understand. They don't understand. I've seen people, when I was in school, fail tests. Oh, and they just get so mad. And they just come apart. They just can't stand it because they failed that test. You know why? They was over here with Theron, and the books were over here. Philip comes in all the time talking about his kids. He gets a lot of emails from people who can't understand why they failed. Now, they never had come to class, and they didn't do any of their work, but they can't understand why they failed. Isn't that sad? My friends, as liabilities, unless we develop an understanding, we're going to destroy the church. We can't be a liability to the church. We must be an asset to the church. These are just a few things that we could talk about. We need to ask ourselves this question every day that we get up. Am I an asset to this church, or am I a liability? How about you? Are you an asset, or are you a liability? When it comes to the working of the church, are you the oil, or are you sand? Make no mistakes. God keeps books too. His records are always spot on. They're never wrong. And one day he's going to open those books, and he's going to look for your name. And everything about you is going to be in that book. And he will determine if you have been an asset or if you have been a liability. Please make yourself an asset. This morning, if you're not a Christian, please give your life to the Lord. Become an asset of God. Work for him. Work for his church. Work in his kingdom. And if you are a Christian and over a period of time you have become a liability, make a change in your life that will bring you back to God so that you can be an asset for him again. And on top of that, look what you're going to do for yourself in the process. So are you an asset, or are you a liability? This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please come while we stand and sing.